Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. This is the story of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Take care and have a great day.
At a church I used to serve, there was a song that we would sing as part of our preschool chapel every spring, and it was called, "I Just Want to Be a Sheep." It went like this. Kids, it has hand motions too, so this is a cool one to learn. Parents, I'm about to plant this as an earworm into your ears forever. You're welcome. It goes like this. "I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba." You're welcome. When I first learned that song to sing with the children, I thought, do I really want to be a sheep? I don't think so. Because sheep are followers. They're not leaders. If you call someone a sheep, you're saying, this person can't think for themselves. They're such a sheep. There's that phrase, like sheep to slaughter. No, thank you. Sheep tend to wander off. And as I was learning about sheep, I learned that they're actually not very bright in the farm world. You know what animals are super smart? Goats. Goats are bright. They can find their way out of a maze really quickly. Goats can. While the sheep are just sitting there on their couch in their yoga pants, just munching on pasture, just eating carbs. So if you ask me, at first glance, I don't want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. As we continue living life in this time of being confined, more or less, to the green pastures right around our homes, it can feel like being a sheep. And sometimes it doesn't feel very good. There's lots about this that we can't predict or control. We have our part to play, sure, but so far that part seems to look like listening to our leaders and following rules and doing things for the good of the flock. Maybe it's a good time to be reminded that Jesus is our good shepherd and we are all sheep of his pasture. And this gift is one of the ordinary miracles we can give thanks for and understand in a deeper way in this time of COVID. I'm indebted to my friend Will Willimon for the astute observation that Jesus could have used any metaphor to describe himself to these Pharisees. He could have said, "I am the good, wise teacher, and you are my brilliant students." He could have said, "I am the good CEO and you're my most excellent managers." But he didn't. He said, "I'm the good shepherd and we are his needy, vulnerable, wayward sheep." So in a time when it feels needy and vulnerable and kind of wayward, I want to lift up to you a few things about life in our Good Shepherd's care, these ordinary miracles that the Good Shepherd gives us every day. The first thing to notice is not much is required of the sheep, at least not compared to what the shepherd does. The sheep listen to the voice of their shepherd and they come when he calls, sure. But Jesus makes it sound like that's not hard for them to do. Jesus is doing all the work, especially in this part of John chapter 10, because Jesus not only says, I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. He also says, I am the gate for the sheep. He calls and leads and protects. The sheep more or less just show up. And in Psalm 23, that beloved psalm of the church, the sheep are pretty passive too. It's the shepherd who is providing for all their needs so that they shall not want. It's the shepherd who makes the sheep to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd who leads beside still waters. It's the shepherd who restores the soul. The shepherd leads and guides and comforts with his rod and staff. It's interesting because the rod I tend to think of as the pokey stick. It's what the shepherd uses when we need a nudge. We need to be pushed. We need to be prompted. And the staff, that part with the hook at the end, that's to catch us when we get too far off the path, when we need to be grabbed and pulled back in and rescued. It's the good shepherd who sets the table, even in the presence of enemies. And for good measure, it's the shepherd who sets goodness and mercy to chasing after us, like a parent chasing after a toddler that's just learning how to walk, you know, pursuing us, goodness and mercy, following the sheep around because we're frankly not smart enough to find it on our own. And on this Mother's Day, all these shepherd activities, all this running around, all this setting the table, all of this prodding and holding and running after reminds me particularly of the love of a mother. And we all know what it is to need that kind of shepherding love because we've all been babies. Babies are precious little needy, vulnerable lambs, aren't they? Other than being cute, there's very little to commend them because they don't know how to do anything yet. They can't draw an impressive Mother's Day card right away. They can't make you breakfast and bring it to you in bed. They can't clean their room. They're little balls of need, really. They need care. They need a shepherd. And when it works out right, the love of the one who cares for them reflects the love of Jesus to them. Human love is another ordinary miracle that God gives to us. When I became a parent, it was a baptism by fire because the child is not there, and then all of a sudden the child is very much present and needy and utterly dependent, and it changes in the blink of an eye. All of a sudden there was this other little person who needed me for everything. And of course, they couldn't earn my love or love me back, what with the constant need for feeding and changing and cleaning and holding and not sleeping ever. But they don't have to earn the parents' love. That would be ludicrous. That's not the way that it works. My own mother came up from the Southland for the birth of our first child. And as it happens, she was able to be there to be one of the first to meet our son. And she stayed with me that first night in the hospital because while Eric is a wonderful husband and father, when Eric is tired, he is just helpless. Fatigue is not something that he deals with well. So I sent him home to sleep, and my mom stayed with me that first night. And Nathan did not sleep that first night. And neither did my mother, although she pretended to be sleeping on the cot so that I could bond with Nathan and learn how to be a parent. And I was shocked by the whole trauma of not being a mother, and then, bam, here's your child, that I didn't even know what to say. I was speechless. I was gobsmacked. And I can remember looking down at our child and saying to my mother, I don't know what to say to him. I feel like I should be talking to him or introducing myself or reciting poetry or teaching him a song like I just want to be a sheep, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what to say. And she said, oh, Amanda, say anything at all. You're his mother. He knows your voice. Sounds like a shepherd, I know. She would say other suspiciously shepherdy things like, parenthood is wonderful, but it is not primarily about the child loving you. Not first. First, it's about you pouring love into them over and over and over again. I mean, they probably will love you back, and it's mighty nice when they do, but that's not what you're in it for. They're not there to meet your needs. You're there to care for them. In this way, it reminds me of the love of God. Isn't it written, "For God so loved the world that he sent the Son to save it." It doesn't say, because the world so loved God. I think it's wonderful that we had our children lead us in the call to worship today and that they used the 23rd Psalm. When you hear it in the voice of a child, I think maybe we hear it in a new way, like having lambs talk about their shepherd. Maybe they remind you of someone in your life that has loved you with a love that has reminded you of Jesus. Maybe it reminds us all of our need for Jesus' love and care. And so if Jesus is our good shepherd, and we're all sheep of his pasture, how are we called to live in the flock together? How are we called to treat one another as sheep? Well, last week, you may recall, Peter was on the beach with Jesus and some of the disciples, and his belly was full of breakfast. Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. He didn't say, Peter, they're your flock, feed your lambs. But he gave Peter instructions about how sheep are supposed to treat each other. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. It turns out Jesus cares a lot about his flock and how his sheep are treated. It's important that they not be led astray or hurt or killed because Jesus came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is there to protect the flock from anything that would hurt it. Jesus talks about he is not like a thief or a robber or a wolf or a stranger. Jesus is the gate for the sheep, and his sheep know his voice. So it means that it's not up to us fellow sheep to decide which sheep are worthy or to sort the sheep out. The Pharisees in this story want to be the ones who say who's in and who's out of the sheepfold, who gets healed, and when they get healed, and why. They were always giving Jesus trouble for healing on the Sabbath, because that wasn't supposed to be allowed. But Jesus says, no, I am the gate for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. It's not the place of fellow sheep to weigh and count and control the rest of the flock. To me, that means hatred has no place in the flock of Christ. It means that racism has no place in the flock of Christ. It means that lambs should not be in danger when they go in and come out, but they should find pasture. They shouldn't be in danger when they jog down the street on a Sunday morning. they belong to Jesus. Times of stress can make sheep act in strange ways. It can bring out the best in the sheep or the worst in the sheep. Hear Jesus' words. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep. He told his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, his hearers would immediately connect that statement with the divine name of God. I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, that was given at the burning bush to Moses. Jesus is making a divine claim about himself when he says an I am statement. And they would also connect it with the 23rd Psalm, where God says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They would have connected that as a divine claim that Jesus is making. And they would connect it with another scripture that's maybe less familiar to us, from Ezekiel 34. In that scripture, the Lord says, through Ezekiel, that earthly rulers, who he calls the shepherds of Israel, have been oppressing the sheep, have been hurting them, have been killing them. It says that they were supposed to feed the sheep, and instead they are eating them. And so God says through Ezekiel, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. So when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, he's saying all of that too. He's not just saying, I'm a super nice guy and you should put this statement on a needlepoint. It means that his work is to do what a good shepherd does, the work of the Lord, to seek and to save the lost, to bring back the strayed, to strengthen the weak, to feed them with justice so that they can come in and go out and find pasture so that they can have life and have it abundantly. On this Mother's Day, that sounds a little like a mother's love to me. And Glenmar is a church that knows clearly who its shepherd is. And if you are worshiping with us today, he's your shepherd too. There's a place for everyone in the shepherd's flock. And there's a place for everyone at Glenmar Church. When you have a good shepherd like Jesus, it makes you want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. Amen.